This is the Selling More Homes podcast, episode number 260. This week, I welcome motivational speaker and sales trainer, Nikki Joy, as my guest. This is Builder Radio, and your Monday morning sales meeting begins now. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Selling More Homes podcast. I'm Scott Stroud. This week, I have something and someone very special for you. When I first became involved with the National Association of Home Builders and the National Sales and Marketing Council some 20 years ago now, one of the luminaries of the industry was a lady named Nikki Joy. In fact, I remember my first International Builders show. It was in Houston, Texas, and headlining the Super Sales Rally was Nikki Joy. She's smart, funny, and has a lot to offer when it comes to what it really takes to excel at sales. It's not product knowledge, but the inspiration to put that knowledge into action. The most knowledgeable salesperson in the world, if he or she has a bad attitude about their product or themselves, won't get very far. So, here to talk about how to stay inspired and motivated is Nikki Joy. Nikki, welcome to Builder Radio.
And it's my pleasure to be here, Scott, with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Again, I think I may have shared with you that my first recollections when I got into the home building industry and became involved in the National Association of Home Builders and attended my first IBS, you were the keynote speaker on the Super Sales Rally. So I've remembered you for a very, very long time.
Well, thank you. That's a wonderful compliment. I've been involved in that for a very long time, been involved in the industry for well over 30 years. So I'm an old dog, so to speak.
Well, I don't think I would use those words and put it this way. You're experienced and you talk with and help a lot of people. You're a motivational speaker. I think that if no one's heard you before, it'll quickly become evident as we get into the topic that you're going to be talking about, motivation. Before we do that, though, tell us a little bit about yourself and your experience in the industry.
Well, Scott, as I said, I've been around a long, long time. I started really my company in the early 1970s. And what we first started doing was we started doing sales effort evaluations, job shopping. You know, we'd go out to the site, evaluate the sales performance, and write a little critique for the builder or the manager so they can get a feel for really what the customer perceives. Because what the customer perceives is all that counts, you see. And that kind of mushroomed, Scott, and it grew and grew and grew and grew and grew. And at one time, we had over 65 people doing this all around the country. Finally, one of my clients said, well, Nikki, you know, you can critique us positively, you know, and then give us suggestions for improvement. Why don't you come in now and talk to our team? So I felt that was a time for me to really divide my company into two sections. One that maintained the evaluation portion, but the other was where I would go out and actually do a motivational session, highlighting the pluses and noting some of the weaknesses that could be improved upon. I didn't want to do it together because I felt that was a conflict of interest in a way. I was afraid of that. So we broke the company up into two sections, and I have to tell you, the speaking arm went to the moon. It became my full-time job, my full-time passion, and I mean, for years and years and years and years and years, I have been on a plane for 3 to 4 days every single week. I've spoken to the big guys, the major builders in the country, as well as some of the smaller builders, family-owned operations. It's also branched out into companies that serve the housing industry, the complementary industry. So I've been involved with the housing industry a long, long time. It is my passion. New homes, really number one. I've worked in the resale market also. But I've just enjoyed every single minute of it because I know that the salesperson's success was my success. And I believe that they were the heart of the sale. I mean, a company, you know, has two resources, capital and people. And I know that if their people were better than the competition's people, they had a huge leg up on their success opportunities. So I came to really revere the sales part of it all. And I mean, I saw things, Scott, that amazed me. And I saw great salespeople who were motivated. They could turn a very, very ordinary product into something exciting. And then conversely, I saw people who had a very exciting product to present, but without their motivation, without their ability to radiate their excitement, their belief in the product they were selling, they turned that exciting product into something ordinary. Well, so I realized the power that salesperson has.
Nikki, it's interesting that you bring it up that way, that the power that the salesperson has if they turn it on. And I know that there are some sales trainers that are quick to say, no, I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a sales trainer. I'm a coach. But really, it's you can't divorce the two and separate the two, can you?
No, you can't. I always claim, actually, that, listen, I mean, I know that motivation comes from within, Scott. I know that. It's something that internal. It lies in one's guts. But I also know that someone from the outside can fan your motivational flame. They can inspire you. So what I do say is this, that though motivation is what moves you in the final analysis, it is inspiration that initially seizes you to better motivate yourself. And that's what, I mean, you know, as I said, motivation is internal, but someone from the outside can definitely make you see something in a different way, light your fire, change your perspective, renew your enthusiasm, help you see what you do and the power that you have.
You know, we've been on the call here together about 3 minutes, and I'm already smiling and feeling better about myself just because of the enthusiasm and passion that with which you describe and discuss your topic. So I know that it's there. But when you're working with salespeople, first of all, what is it that salespeople need to do to find and claim their motivation? And secondly, as a trainer and as a motivator, what do you do and how do you help them to do that?
Well, first of all, I think there's recognition of the fact of its importance. From the sales perspective and from most people's perspective, our chief want in life, as Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, is finding somebody who will make us do all that we can do. So kind of everyone is looking, believe it or not, for someone who's going to help them. The salesperson is as well. Sometimes I get challenged by managers or builders who say to me, listen, Nikki, why do I have to bring in a sales motivator? They should be motivated to begin with. That's part of the job. Well, you know, in fantasy land, that might hold true. But in reality, motivation is not an event. It's a program. It's an ongoing thing, and what's interesting, Scott, is the superstars need it the most because they use up so much of themselves when they perform. I have found something interesting. Smart salespeople know they need motivation because they know that knowledge is not power. Motivation is power. It is really what you do. What you know means nothing. It's only what you do with what you know. The word motivation comes from two root words, motive for action, motive for doing. So why do people do what they do, and why don't they do what they're supposed to do? It's really, really interesting. When I work with sales teams, first of all, I try to get them excited again about, as I said before, the power and the opportunity they have. It's incredible the influence they can radiate to other people. I mean, Scott, I have seen rookies come into a scenario, a new home community, and outsell a person who's been there for years. What was it? What made this rookie succeed where the person that's been there a while has not? And what it was, it was one word, just enthusiasm for the product. You see, the first person that has to be sold is indeed that salesperson. And that salesperson has to be able to every single morning buy that product and convey their belief to the buyer. I mean, the buyer doesn't really buy the home until they live in the home. And then they go, oh, this is great. This is wonderful. I love this kitchen. I love this layout. I love the great room. But when they sign the dotted line, that buying that salesperson's belief So my first job when I speak to a group is to really reiterate the fact, and in some cases, teach the fact that their belief, the way they express their belief, is critical. And to be able to do that, they have to be motivated to perform. Of course, the next question is, so what motivates someone to perform? And I said to you before, people can be inspired by someone from the outside. They can look at what they do a different way. But why do people perform? People perform because it feels good to perform. And all people are not motivated by the same thing. It's important for managers to understand what will motivate this person. I mean, there's loads of things that motivate people. Sometimes it's acceptance. Sometimes it's challenge. Sometimes it's confidence. Sometimes it's money. Though I have to tell you, money has never and will never guarantee loyalty, top performance, or anyone going the extra mile. It never has and it never will. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that time off and trips and bucks shouldn't be part of a company's compensation program. All I'm simply saying is if you think that those things are the key to motivating others, they're not. They're usually not. People are motivated by responsibility sometimes, or just respect, recognition. I mean, the three biggest motivators are still honor, recognition, and praise. Those are the three biggest motivators. We just call them the breakfast of champions. And it's true. So it's, you know, recognition, awareness of the importance of this is just critical. There's many concepts that I talk about when I give a speech. I talk about the idea that since inspiration is what's needed to motivate oneself, salespeople have to go out and actively seek inspiration rather than passively hoping that it finds them. I find today, Scott, a lot of salespeople are what I call high on hopium. You know what I mean? They're out there hoping they'll have an energized day, hoping, you know. The problem is the desk is a very dangerous place to view the world from. And, every season has its doldrums. Its laziness has many forms and disguises. I mean, there's the winter doldrums, spring fever, summer heat, fall back to school season. You know, there's always an excuse. The idea is that you have to know what you can do to keep yourself pumped. And I give salespeople lots of suggestions. And if I may, I'd like to run off a couple of suggestions, if I can.
Please do.
Okay, I think there's some important things to understand. First of all, I think it is critical, absolutely critical, that salespeople know how to break a bad mood perpetuation cycle. What I mean is this. Many times when they've had a bad day, if conversion ratios are down, if they see a lot of people and face tremendous rejection, they don't know how to break that cycle. In fact, people who are in a bad mood tend to keep that bad mood going. They tend to withdraw from the world. They even crawl into bed, glue themselves to the couch, bury them in a disturbing novel, or watch the depraved and the dysfunctional on TV. You know, sit there with the box of Godivas or the six pack of whatever. The idea is when you feel down, you have to get out. You have to get out there. That's the most important thing. You have to start, I'm serious, evaluating who you're hanging with. Select the people who make you feel good. Make a conscientious effort to surround yourself with them. Force yourself to call someone who you know will lift your spirits. Take time to read some of those wonderful letters that you got from happy customers in the past. Read a comedy book. I mean, you have to be able to break that. People with a higher sense of self-esteem tend to work harder to retrieve a positive state of mind when they feel down than people with a lower sense of self-esteem. There's a guy named Dr. Petty, I believe, from the Midwest, who studied that people who value themselves, they think they don't deserve to feel bad. So they really put a lot of positive energy into chasing the gloom away. They get out. They might brood for a while, but they don't let it envelop them. Another thing is that, you know, to understand that how you think doesn't determine how you act, but how you act determines how you think. And that's why getting out and engaging in any activity, whether it's directly related to the job or not, is important. Doing something gets you going. And it's amazing how that can change you. I mean, the quickest antidote to despair is action of any kind. So you got to just get out and do something. It doesn't matter kind of what it is. Checking goals is very important every day. Making sure that you give yourself shorter goals and mini goals today. And look for smaller wins. Because we used to work with big numbers in this business, and we used to have very lofty goals. I recall going to sales meetings and everyone saying how many amazing homes they were going to sell this year. Well, reality is not an option today. It is not an option. So the idea is we have to nurture smaller goals. We have to nurture smaller wins and look for smaller wins. We have to, if you're a manager or a builder, give your salespeople intermediate goals, little goals, that will start the habits working in the right direction. You know, Scott, I always say that it's motivation that moves you, inspiration that seizes you, but it really is habits in the final analysis that will sustain you. So if you give someone little goals, I mean, how many times have I seen people say, hey, listen, tonight from 6 to 8, we're going to make follow-up calls. And everyone is going to make 50 follow-up calls. We're going to get pizza in, and we're going to make 50 follow-up calls. So they make 50 follow-up calls, and then the night is over. Instead of performance goals, you need success goals. We're going to sit here until we get two buyer appointments. Two people who have committed to come back and talk to us. If that happens in 10 minutes, you've done your job. If it's going to take till 9 o'clock, we'll sit here with you. So it's more about little things. The first person who gets a compliment for a new home demonstration gets a little award. Going back, little wins are very, very, very important. Very important.
That's fascinating. You know, just thinking about the difference in perspective, instead of making 50 calls, we're going to call until we get two appointments. Well, that's really right. What it's all about. You're almost cutting out the work step and getting to the success step on that.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what it's really all about. And I think it's also so important for people every day to count their blessings. You know, I'm not talking about this from a religious aspect, but more from a spiritual aspect, because motivation really does take spirit. I think when you, little things you have to make yourself do, I think that's what discipline is doing what you have to do even when you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Getting up in the morning, forcing yourself to smile. When you're getting ready for work, putting on music that makes you want to dance. I don't care if it's hip-hop, salsa, country western, opera, tango. I don't care what it is, but getting yourself charged. Music is a great charger. I think reading motivational, inspirational books is critical. I believe that if you read 1 hour a day, you have the potential to become an incredibly wealthy person. I always say, go into the home of people who are wealthy, you'll see the walls lined with books, and go into the home of someone who is scraping by, and you'll see the biggest darn TV set you ever saw in your life. So I think committing yourself to reading one chapter from a book every day that's motivational is important. I think it's very critical, and I alluded to this a moment ago, to hang out with people who make you feel invigorated. Look at your friends. Make sure that you understand that just like a plane can't take off if its drag exceeds its lift, neither can you take off if your drag exceeds your lift. So you're going to hang with people who are positive and supportive, who know how to spread good news, make the best of things. And if you have people that you have to surround yourself with who are negative, make sure you balance the opposite side of your associations. It's really, really important. Another thing I think is to kind of set yourself up to win. I think you have to see winning when a prospect walks into your sales center. I think it's important to snap a quick picture, create an optic very quickly in your mind of those people buying the home that you're about to present to them. just take a quick picture of them signing the agreement or purchase document. They're excited. You're excited. Snap the picture. I think it's very critical to do that, and I know sports figures have done that for years. They saw winning before winning happened.
Right. Visualization.
Right, yeah. Right. And I think it keeps you in a different frame of mind. Those things are just critical, and those are just some of the little things that work. But I do believe that management has a hand in this. Management has to participate in the motivation process. They have to praise frequently. They have to praise in front of others even more frequently. That's worth 10 times the bang for its buck. I believe that when you praise, you have to praise specifically. We tend to punish specifically, but we praise generally. When we punish a kid, like for example, we say, you're grounded for 2 weeks because you pulled your sister's hair, you didn't clean your room, you spent too much time, playing games. But when we compliment people, we tend to say, hey, good job. So I think if we praised as specifically as we reprimand or punish or critique, that would be wonderful. You did a good job. And let me tell you exactly why you did a good job. Because these people, not only did they come back, they brought their friends. They commented on what a wonderful home demonstration you gave them and how you remembered the things that they liked and how you fitted that into your demonstration. In other words, be specific when you praise. I think also being needed is a very important motivator for many. So I think it's important to tell your team how much you need them. And you've got to keep them informed. Information has to be free-flowing. I think consistency, as it is in parenting, is incredibly important in managing. And I think we always have to remember that people do not learn from advice, but only from example. I know that sounds trite, but it's an important thing to remember.
Interesting.
Yeah. Also, people need to know what to expect of them. People need to know what is expected. I also think you have to give your salespeople a way to toot their own horn when they do something well and provide them with opportunities for, self-enhancement in any way. I still think it's important to blur the line between work and play. I think manager has to do that from time to time. And every meeting has to include some inspiration. I mean, it's not just how many people came in, what happened, let's look at these follow-up cards. Every meeting has to consist of some education, of course, business, but also some inspiration, too.
Good.
It could be a story that someone brings to the table, a salesperson, on what they did to inspire a sale to happen, anything like that. You have to remember who works for you. I did a seminar recently where the manager had no idea of the salesperson's name who worked on their team. That's the saddest thing.
Oh.
And I think also you have to celebrate success before it happens. If you have a company goal, celebrate it before it happens and then watch it happen.
Wow.
Work that way. Uh-huh.
Nikki, these are great thoughts, and I appreciate the fact that you've talked to each of us, the salesperson, the individual, as well as management, and what the management can do to inspire and motivate the team there. If we're new at this and perhaps new at sales and are just embracing these concepts, where do you start to get the right attitude where you begin motivating yourself?
Well, attitude is at the root of everything, And a lot of people say to me, well, Nikki, what is an attitude? Well, what does attitude mean? Attitude refers to how you look at things, your perspective. That's your attitude,
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that a person with a bad attitude can't fix their bad attitude. So I think, first of all, from the hiring process, you have to check out someone's spirit and energy and positivity. That's very important. If you find yourself with a bad attitude and you have a hard time shaking it, I go back to something that I alluded to earlier, and I will say it again. How you think doesn't determine how you act. It's how you act that determines how you think. many people are told, hey, you better change your attitude. Hey, kid, get rid of that bad attitude. You've got a rotten attitude. But very few people are ever told how to fix it. And they're not told how to fix it because most people don't know how to fix it. You can bang your head against the wall. You can think until you turn blue. You can become a vegetarian. You can run the Boston Marathon. The only thing that would really work out of all those things would probably be running the Boston Marathon.
Right.
Because it is activity that changes attitude. So if you're in an attitude funk, if you find yourself being more negative than positive, the answer is action, taking some action. And the best action you can take, believe it or not, is self-giving. But you really seem to reevaluate your own value when you realize how important you can be to someone who can just use a little bit of your help. Self-giving could be helping a rookie. It could be going to a senior center and spending a half hour talking to someone who has no one to talk to. It could be distributing food for a food bank. It could be anything like that. But if you want the quickest route to changing how you're thinking, get out there and start doing something good for someone else.
Excellent. That's deep, but it's so important. It's fundamental, I think, to who we are and to being happy with ourselves. And what I'm getting from this is that that's important. If we're going to be motivated and we're going to be internally motivated, we've got to be happy or satisfied or pleased with who we are on the inside. If not, then there's nothing, no external factors going to motivate us.
You know, Scott, that's really the essence, such an important essence of where I'm going with this. A lot of people think you're selfish if you say, my happiness is number one. But you know what? It's true. We're all responsible for our own happiness. And that has to be your first number one objective. Because you can't give someone something that you don't have to give.
Right.
So if you have happiness within you, you can spread it around. But man, if you're miserable, you're going to be spreading that around too.
Good. And that doesn't work in the sales situation. This has been fascinating. I got to tell you, Nikki, I'm ready to move my office into yours so that I can get this every day and be motivated with that. Thank you so much for being our guest. And finally, I get to meet you. This is wonderful. We've been motivated by Nikki Joy. And Nikki, thank you so much for talking to us on Builder Radio today.
Thank you, Scott. I wish you a great 2013 and many, many more successes.
That was Nikki Joy. You can visit Nikki's website, nikkijoy.com, to contact her or to arrange for her to speak at your company or association. Well, that's our program for this week. For Jerry Rouleau and Charles Bevier, I'm Scott Stroud. And thanks for listening to Builder Radio on the Selling More Homes Media Network.